Hi everyone, welcome to the Laura Horn Art Podcast. For this week's episode, I thought that it might be good to go back to a topic that has been very popular on the podcast, art supplies. So quite a while ago, we did an episode where I ran through all my favourite bits and bobs, but it's been some time and there's been a few changes, so I thought that we could do an update and I'd share all my favourite things from paper through to pens, pastels, and give you the lowdown on what I love to use as a mixed media artist.
Hello, Laura. How are you going?
I'm really good, but I have to say I am so exhausted. It has been a huge week, and for anyone who's been listening to the podcast and following along with our journey, they'll know that we have been working on our very first big e-course, and it opened up for registration, and wow, it's just been intense, but in a good way.
Yeah, just so much work.
Yeah, there's still bits and pieces that we're pulling together to get it ready because the class starts on the 20th of July. And of course, we've had lots of questions and emails and things like that. So yeah, it's just been a very intense week and I almost wondered whether we were going to get this podcast off the ground or get me off the ground because it's been crazy. But I do want to say that I am so excited and overjoyed and happy because this has been our baby for the past few months. You know, with things like this, you do worry. You worry whether or not anyone's going to sign up or all that kind of stuff, and doubts start to creep in. But we've had the most wonderful response. And as of today, we have nearly 500 artists coming to join us on this course, which is incredible. And I'm already getting to know them over in the Facebook group. And what I love about it is that it's such an interesting mix of artists with so much talent and so many skills from different areas. And I'm seeing things like textiles and photography and all kinds of different art that I don't know so much about. And I'm so excited to see how they combine what they already know with the lessons that are in the course. So the early bird offer for the course has just ended, but I will say that it is still open for registration at the regular price. So if you head on over to laurahornart.com/modern-mixed-media, you can find out more about that e-course. And the enrollment closes for it on the 19th of July, and the course begins on the 20th of July. As always, we'd like to start with a review from one of our listeners, and we have one here from One Mother Artist via Apple Podcasts in the USA. I may never come up for air again. That's the title.
Really?
I have been taking a few of your classes and just started to binge your podcast. I love hearing you and Richie talk. I drive about 12 hours every other weekend to bring my son to his dad for visitation. Your podcasts have been a source of comfort for me during the long rides. Just hearing you talk inspires me. Hearing your guest speakers, especially Inga and Phoebe, really struck a chord with me. I paint on the weekends when my son is away, mostly watercolour and some mixed media. Today I did the first layer of Layer by Layer and I seriously had to force myself up out of the basement. That's the space I paint in, to force myself to let the first layer to dry. I am now fully addicted to acrylic painting. Thank you so much.
Look, I get that. I listen to audiobooks and my favourite podcasts when I drive, because sometimes I drive long distances. And it's hard to believe that we're doing for other people what my podcasters do for me. We're very lucky.
It's funny, sometimes when we're chatting, I don't even imagine that anyone else is listening.
I know.
It's weird.
Know. Yeah.
But they are, and we are so grateful. And I want to say thank you so much for leaving such a beautiful review. And I'm glad that you're enjoying the classes and trying new things and exploring acrylic painting. And I also wanted to say that I love those two podcast episodes that she mentioned as well, the one with Inga Buiva and Phoebe Gander. So I'll link them in the show notes for this episode. Okay, on to talking about supplies.
Oh, my favourite subject.
Come on, Richie.
I'll try and stay awake for this.
I've been pretty good about tidying up my supplies lately.
Yeah, it's pretty clean here in the studio, so.
Richie's laid down the law,
mm-hmm.
So I have to clean up after myself here.
Well, the days of paint supplies being in the kitchen sink and all over the place. Those days are long gone.
The days when our house looked like an art gallery slash workshop space.
Slash bomb site.
Yeah, not quite as nice looking as a gallery, let's be honest.
You'd go in, yeah, you would go in to cook dinner and there'd be just like paint pots and mixing jars everywhere.
A bit of paint in with the dinner.
Yep.
Never hurt anyone.
Why not? That's the real reason you don't use toxic paints, isn't it?
That's right. Because you never know when you're going to end up eating a bit of them. So one of the reasons that I wanted to chat about supplies is because I just did up a PDF for the course, Modern Mixed Media, and it does have all my favourite things listed in there with links. So I'm going to attach that to the show notes because it's an easy way for anyone that's listening to find out exactly what I'm talking about. So first of all, let's talk about surfaces and substrates. Well, basically, they're the same thing. Yeah. Just the fancy word and then the word that I tend to use. So I do most of my work on watercolour paper. And I do use canvases and wooden panels and aqua boards and things from time to time. But my main love is watercolour. And I have noticed that the quality of your watercolour paper makes a huge difference to your work. And you can use student-grade watercolour paints, but you do need that higher quality paper in order to get those bright colours and to be able to do different effects as well. I mean, student-grade paper is great for experimenting and I still use it a lot for little bits and bobs, but when I am creating pieces that I want to sell or license or anything like that, I use a premium artist-grade paper, one that is made out of 100% cotton. And the two brands that I especially love are Canson Heritage and Archers. And I always use the cold press because I like that little bit of texture. And cold press is kind of like the medium paper because you get rough paper and you also get hot press, which is smooth. And it depends on what kind of work you like to do. If you like very detailed work, you might want to use a smoother paper. So that's good if you're going to be adding in fine details or you doing pen work and things like that. And if you like very expressive, bold work, then a rough paper can be great because it's got that texture in it and you can use those bigger marks. And then you have the cold press, which to me is just a nice middle ground.
I remember when you were talking about selecting a substrate and you were saying that if you were going to go with a less expensive paint, don't skimp on the paper.
Yeah, that's what I would suggest if your budget is tight. I would try and get your hands on some premium paper because there are some good quality student-grade watercolour paints and we'll talk about them in a minute.
It just reminds me of photography because in photography, everybody's always thinking about the camera. In art, that's kind of like the paints. As professionals, we know that the lenses are much more important than the actual camera. It's one of those things where you'll see someone with a great camera and not a really good lens. And you're going, do you know what I mean?
I couldn't agree more. And when I started painting, I did a lot of work on cheap canvases that I'd pick up from the dollar store and things like that. And they are great for experimenting because, you know, you're making lots of things. You don't want to be spending a huge amount of money. But I do remember when I bought my very first artist quality premium canvas and just the way the paint just slipped around on the surface, it was amazing. There is a difference.
Yeah.
But you've got to figure out what your purpose is and what your budget is in order to be able to make those decisions.
Yeah, you got to start somewhere.
As far as student grade paper, I have been using the St. Cuthbert's Mill Bockingford paper at the moment. That was a bit of a mouthful. and I've been finding that quite good for things like colour swatches and botanical studies. And I think Canson has a pretty good student grade paper as well. So there are definitely options for different price points. I also love working in journals, and there's two journals that I've been using at the moment. I have been using the Moleskine watercolour notebook for a very long time, and I enjoy the paper in this book. You have to make sure you get the watercolour one though, because Moleskine have all sorts of different journals. And the paper is cold press paper, but it feels a little bit like a hot press because it's a bit smoother than normal and it's a little bit thinner. I should have mentioned before that I usually use a 300 GSM paper, so that's the weight of the paper, which is 300 grams per square metre. also known as a 140-pound. But the paper that's in the journal is a little bit lighter weight. It's great for journal work. And I also like the Speedball Travelogue watercolour book. And I like that one because it's square, has a square format. The Moleskin is a landscape format. I think it's fun to try different sizes, work in books that have a different shape of paper.
It's great for composition training too. You know, it takes
you in different directions. The Speedball one is a little bit hard to get a hold of though, I will say that. But there are some other great square-shaped notebooks out there with watercolour paper in them. There are two other surfaces, no, maybe three, that I have been enjoying working on lately. I really like aqua boards, and aqua boards are brilliant for working with watercolour. They give you that opportunity to do a watercolour painting without it being on paper, so you have to frame it under glass or something like that. So they're brilliant. I also love working on wooden panels with acrylic paint mostly, but also acrylic inks are great on wooden panels. And most recently, I've been digging out the raw canvas and experimenting with staining raw canvas and also some stitching on raw canvas. And that's actually covered in the course. Oh, there's a lot here. I'm realizing this is a long list. So I'm going to try and just run through some of my favorites. And I will say that head on over to laurahornart.com/the podcast/98. Because I won't be able to go through everything in this episode. I've just realized that looking at Richie's face too, as I go through these pages and pages of notes of all my favorite things. So let's talk a bit about tools and mediums and the things that I like to use to lay down my paint. So if you've seen my Instagram, you've probably seen the little flower palette that I often use to mix my paints in. That's made out of porcelain. And I will say for watercolor paint, I absolutely love a porcelain painting surface, and they're not expensive. You can pick them up in local art shops, and the paint mixes beautifully on them and creates a nice little puddle for mixing colours.
You've only been using them the last year because I bought you your first one.
You did, and before that I was very much just using whatever I could. I'd often paint on takeaway lids, plastic lids or plates from around the home. It's only now that I've started to invest in some better supplies. So I want to say that for anyone who's just starting out, just do what you can with what you have available to you. I mean, it worked fine for me for a really long time. So yeah, I think it's important to say that because if you were to go out and buy everything all at once, it would be so expensive. And it's better to just add to it bit by bit and to get to know what you will actually use. So I only invested in a porcelain palette when I had quite a few watercolours and I knew that I would be painting with watercolours all the time. Not that they're that expensive, but there are some palettes that are. For acrylic paint, I quite often use disposable palette paper. I just find it super convenient and easy. And sometimes I will use that for watercolour paint as well, or oil paint. It's just very versatile because you can use it with various different paints.
Yeah, you can protect surfaces with it too.
Yeah, it's just a handy paper to have around. So a pad or two of disposable palette paper is a good thing to have in the studio. And if you have friends over and you're painting, you can just easily give everyone a palette. I'm not going to mention all the super obvious things like water containers and paper towels and rags. Okay, I just did mention them.
Jam jars.
Those sorts of things, palette knives. What I will say is I absolutely love the tools and the brushes that Princeton make. And I didn't realize this until recently. Almost all of my brushes and tools come from the one brand. I love them that much. So I use Princeton Catalyst tools. So if anyone's seen those spatula-looking things, they look like kitchen spatulas. In fact, I'm pretty sure in my art class I call them a spatula rather than whatever they're meant to be called. They're blades and wedges, I think, are the correct names. They're made out of silicon and they're fantastic for scraping paint. And they also have ones that you can use to get texture, like little indentations and dents in the paint. So they're fantastic. And then Princeton have a range of brushes. And what I love about it is that they have different price points. So when I started painting, I'd often buy the value packs of brushes. And then as I got more into it, I'd go up a level. And now I use the Princeton Neptune brushes for watercolor. And while these are a bit more premium, as far as watercolor brushes go, they're still very affordable. And with watercolor, your brushes last a long time because the paint washes out easily with water. It's not like acrylic paint where it's harder to get your brushes clean. So I think it's worth it to invest in a good set of watercolor brushes, or even just one or two good ones. I have them in a range of sizes from, you know, zero, which is very, very fine, right through to about 16, which is a big round brush that I have.
So are you saying that you don't have any other makeup brush? That's, you just normally work with those?
Oh, I do have some that I've picked up from hardware stores and, you know, if there's something on special. But the ones that I go back to again and again are the Princeton ones. So I have a few in the watercolor range. I also like their oval wash brush, which is in the watercolor range. Then I have recently bought their Catalyst Polytip brushes. These are for acrylic paint and I think oil paint. They are very long-handled brushes, which I like for acrylic painting, especially when I'm painting a larger canvas, because it gives you that flexibility and you can stand further away from the canvas and it enables you to get a looser arm movement. So it's good for staying loose. Brushes themselves are very firm, which I like for pushing acrylic paint around, and it suits the abstract style that I enjoy. And they're very well-made brushes that are going to last a long time. I'll just mention a couple of other things that I like to have around that I often get questions about. One of them is masking tape. I use masking tape all the time to tape down my watercolor paper when I'm painting. This helps so that it doesn't buckle as much. It holds it in place, and also it's just so satisfying to peel up that tape at the end and get that crisp white border. Every time I show this on Instagram, I get so many DMs and comments, what tape do you use? I have trouble with my tape pulling the paper and ripping things. I have been using two brands. Both of them are Australian and they come from art shops here where we live. One is called Art Culture, and that came from Riot Art, and the other one is called Express It. And I'm not sure where that one came from. You picked that one up for me. Was that Art to Art?
Art to Art.
Now, both of these tapes work very well for me. If you look on the packaging of your tape, make sure that it says something along the lines of it's designed for art purposes and masking in art, and even better if it says, you know, it works well on watercolor paper or something like that. You know, it's a purpose-made tape for art and craft, you know, as opposed to something you pick up in
the hardware store.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. The other thing is not to leave it on for too long. So I take my tape off quite soon after I've finished painting. Quite often that's because I'm so impatient.
Yeah.
And sometimes the paint isn't even completely dry. So I think that's one of the reasons why I don't tend to have as many problems as some people, is because I'm not leaving it on for that long, so it's not getting super stuck on. The other thing that I've noticed is that when you use this tape on cheaper paper, it is much more likely to tear. And I know that because I've had that in some of my watercolor notebooks and sketchbooks that have a student grade paper in there. Student grade paper isn't as strong, and because of that softness, it's much more easy to pull up. So good quality paper will make a difference. Don't leave it on for too long, and just make sure that the tape isn't too tacky. Check with art supply shops just feel it as well. You know, you'll get a feeling for what it needs to be, because you don't want it to be too sticky. You can run into the other problem though, where the paint runs under the tape. So you need to have it sticky enough that it seals, but not so sticky that it pulls the paper up when you go to lift the tape off the edges. Trial and error. Test out a few brands. As I say, I use those two that are Australian-based companies. Another fun one is masking fluid, which I've been using with my watercolor paints. And I lay that down in order to block out an area. And then, as the name suggests, it masks that part of the page.
It looks so good.
And it's a rubber. It's kind of a rubbery
latexy
consistency. And you paint it on with a brush and then you allow it to set, put the watercolor paint over the top, allow that to dry, and then you can pull it up. And I think I've got this on my Instagram somewhere, but it looks like glue, like you're pulling off glue off your hands that it's been dried to your hands. You know, when you're a kid, it's very satisfying and fun to play with. So that's a new favorite. And I've been using the Art Spectrum brand of masking fluid with really good results. So that's an Australian brand as well, but I've heard that Winsor & Newton is good too. So let's talk about paint. What are my favourite brands?
You only have one real favourite brand.
What's that?
Daniel Smith watercolours.
You definitely know that one.
Yeah,
I absolutely adore Daniel Smith watercolours. They are so vibrant and they have all the fancy granulations and interesting colours. I don't really use that many other brands.
Well, you do have those jars in the studio. Matisse?
Oh, yeah, for acrylic.
Yeah.
So for acrylic paint, I absolutely love the Matisse brand. And they do these gorgeous Australian-themed colours. Like, I think one's called Australian Salmon Gum, and there's a few things, a few colours like that. I'm trying to think, they have like an olive green, might be called Australian olive green, not sure.
Daniel Smith American.
Yeah, so Daniel Smith is American, and they have so many paints. There's over 250 watercolours to choose from. And I've had so many people message me and email me about what are my favourites. So I put together a video a while ago, which has my 15 top colours that I use in my paintings. So you can find that if you go over to laurahornart.com/swatches, and I'll link it in the show notes.
Yeah, that's a free video on the website.
It is a free video. Just off the top of my head, for anyone listening, I'll just mention a few of my absolute favourites that I use all of the time. So the Duochrome Autumn Mystery is definitely one. It's a peachy copper colour with a bit of a sparkle in it. I also use Indigo a lot, which is a deep, dark blue. Perylene Green is great for foliage. And Transparent Red Oxide. They're some of the ones that I use the most. But I don't just use watercolour. I combine my watercolour with acrylic inks. And this is key for me because I love the softness and the delicate luminous quality of watercolour, particularly all those granulations that Daniel Smith do so well. But I also enjoy the boldness and the smoothness of acrylic ink. Acrylic inks are vibrant, they're deep, they're rich, and they don't have the granulation in them. They're smooth and flat. And I like the contrast between the two. And I also like mixing them together because I can never seem to keep my palette neat and tidy anyway. Even when I try and keep them separate as I'm working, I just end up tossing all sorts of stuff together. I don't care about the rules.
What rules?
You know, if I want to mix a colour, I'll just squish a bit of this and add a bit of that and sprinkle a bit of this and see what I can come up with.
You better be very careful. The watercolour police will come around and arrest you.
Anyway, I think they play quite nicely together, inks and watercolours. And for inks, I use the De La Rowney FW brand of inks. Primarily, they're my favourites. And sometimes I use the Amsterdam ones as well. And I have a few favourite colours, which I'm not going to go into because I think we'll be here all day.
All day.
But if you have a look at the PDF, I do have some information in that with my favourite colours. But you have to have white because I mix white into all my watercolours to give me a whole range of pastels. And you have to have Payne's Grey ink as well. They're two essentials. With the Matisse acrylic paints, I will say that Matisse is a bit of a challenging brand of paint for you to get a hold of outside of Australia, from what I've heard from my students. So I have been playing around with a few other brands as well, and I'm enjoying the Liquitex brand of paints and Golden. And I think everyone knows that Golden paints are amazing. They're just quite pricey here in Australia, but the consistency of them is spot on, silky, creamy, buttery all at once. So Golden paints are fantastic, but Liquitex are good too. The Liquitex professional range has got a really nice feel to them. There's a few of my favorite colors. I really like the Golden Titan Buff. I also like the golden Titan Mars Pale. It's a pale pink colour. Liquitex do a light portrait pink, which is nice. And I also just love burnt sienna in whatever brand I can get a hold of. So there's a few of my favourites. And Payne's Grey is another colour that I like. And any of the deep, dark greens. Richie's getting lost in this world of supplies. I wonder if... I'm curious if other people enjoy hearing about this stuff as much as I do, because whenever I have a guest on the podcast, I can't wait to ask them about what they use, and I want to hear the details. I want to know the specific colour they use and the thickness of the pen and the... So I don't know.
Yeah, look...
I'm wondering if people are like that or whether or not I'm boring everyone to tears.
No, I geek out on my hobbies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm going to carry on because I reckon there's some people out there that like hearing all the details. Yeah,
I'm going to use this podcast tonight for when I can't sleep. I'll just listen to it.
Just stick with it, Richie. Stick with it. We're on to mark making supplies. So this is all about the pens, pencils and pastels and things that I like to add over the top of my paints. So it doesn't matter whether I work with watercolour, acrylic ink or acrylic paint. I still like to add in some kind of other elements. So I like to bring in some oil pastel or some pen work or something like that. To me, it's just the cherry on the top. It's the fun part. It's probably my favourite part, to be honest. I don't know. No, I have too many favourite parts, but...
Mark making has to be up there.
Mark making is definitely up there. So I have a few favourites. Some of these people will know straight away. I definitely love using paint pens. And the Posca brand is the one that I have settled on as being my all-time favourite. And I use those in a variety of different thicknesses, but I particularly like the extra fine ones because I like getting those details in. But there's also some medium size and chunky ones that are fun to play with. And I mainly use... I was going to say the boring colours, but I mainly use like white, black, sometimes a bit of gold. They do come in bright colours as well, like pinks and blues and things, but I just love a white paint pen. They pop on the darker colours. But one of the things that people ask me all the time is, how do I get them to look so bright and white? Because sometimes they sink into the paint or they don't work. They can be tricky little characters.
You better just slip, were you?
Yeah. I was going to say something naughty, but I just reined it in. So anyway.
But shouldn't you just tell people to do what you don't do?
What's that?
Let it dry.
Yeah. This is the thing. I always say in my classes, you know, make sure it's fully dry. And then because we're filming and we don't have the time, I'm like trying to get that the pen going.
That is absolutely not the reason. The reason is you cannot wait.
Or I'm impatient. But I have noticed that on those occasions when I do wait until the next day, the pen seems to work a lot better. So I think sometimes your paper is not dry even though it feels dry.
The top layer of the paint will have a dry layer on it. But yeah, as soon as you start putting pressure on it.
It's hitting moisture.
Yeah, it's hitting moisture.
Yeah, so you might need to wait a bit longer. Even overnight before you put your pen details on over the top. I mean, you can also go over the top of the line. Sometimes I have to do that to kind of get a really good line. I might have to go over it again because it's sunk in the first time. I mean, I don't always get it right. You know, sometimes I have to try different pens and shake about 10 pens to get one working. So, you know, you are
known to throw out the wrong pen. The wrong pot of paint.
Yeah, I threw out the good one. It was full of paint the other day. I thought it was an empty tube, but it wasn't.
So you opened the empty one and go, where's my full one?
I also like mark making supplies that are water soluble because I find that these are good because you can use them throughout the layers of a painting and you're not worrying about the fact that they have to necessarily sit on the top final layer. I don't know if that made sense. But with something like an oil pastel, because it's oil-based, it's hard to layer over the top of. So if you're bringing another water-based supply over the top, it's going to resist the oil. Oil pastels are a bit tricky because ideally you use them as a finishing touch, but it's hard to know when the end is in a painting.
Yeah.
And sometimes I put oil pastel in and then I'm like, I'm not done yet and I want to keep layering. And I do it anyway. I just layer over the top and see what happens. But ideally, they're best used at the end of the process, whereas water-soluble supplies, they kind of like mix and melt into whatever you're doing. So they're more forgiving in that way. So I use Neocolor 2 water-soluble wax crayons, and I use them a lot to warm up. So that's where I do my scribbly lines and get something on the page and activate the surface that I'm working on. And I've also found that Derwent Inktense pencils are great for this, and they are an ink, kind of like an ink in a pencil form. You can use them dry, like a pencil, and they're great because you can get detail being a pencil shape. But you can also add water to them and mush them up. But then once they dry, they're permanent, so you can layer over the top without reactivating them. Hopefully I've got all that right. Don't quote me on any of this. Sometimes I'm picking up things and I don't even know what they are.
Just another Laura-ism.
The Stabilo All pencil is very similar to that. That's the magic pencil that I use for warm-ups and things like that, because you can use it dry or you can use it wet and you can get all this sort of deliciousness out of the one pencil. And I still like oil pastels, even though I find them a little bit tricky. They are creamy. They're fabulous for mark making. I've been using the Crayola Portfolio water-soluble oil pastels lately because they're water-soluble, which is interesting because I don't even know how that works. But you can add a bit of water to them and they dissolve a bit. Anyway, I don't know how to describe them, but they're cheap. They're a sort of more of a student-grade product, great for warming up, bright colours. They're just fun.
Crayola as in the kids' crayon?
Yeah, they Crayola. Have like an artist Crayola portfolio series, water-soluble oil pastel. It's an interesting product. Fun one to play with. I've had them for years because I had them even when the kids were young, and I still use them because there's a colour in the pack that I love. I think it's called Flesh or Peach or something like that, and I buy the whole set for that
just
one
to get
colour.
That colour. That's something you would do.
I know, because I don't often buy big sets of pastels. I tend to try and buy individual pencils and pens and things like that, so I can choose the colours that I want. But these don't come in individuals, so I have to buy the whole set just for the one colour. But, you know, you got to do what you got to do as an artist.
It's a tough life.
So I think that covers my favourite pens and pastels. Oh, I should do a little mention of Pigma Micron black pens because I like them for doodling. The Pigma pens are good for doodling. I like doing botanical sketches with them in my notebook. I think they come in colours, but I only have the black ones, and they have various different thicknesses and they are permanent and archival once dry. So they're good to have as well. And finally, I just wanted to mention that I like using things that I grab from around the home in my art. And I'm always open to new possibilities. So it could be just a random item or, you know, a stick or a twig from the backyard or a feather or just a sponge or something, rag.
I'll tell you
I don't know.
I'll tell you some of the stuff that you've used that has been kind of unique. You've used bark from a tree, bubble wrap, cardboard, flowers, pine cones.
Sewing pattern from dresses that my mum used to make me when I was a kid, like old sewing patterns.
Yeah, sponges. I'm just trying to think of stuff that like you press into your finished work to get it.
Yeah, paper
a specific
towel,
look. Yeah,
you know, things like that.
The cat's toy, that little yarn ball that you
oh,
roll
yeah.
through, remember?
Yeah, I'm always eyeing off things around
Nothing
the place,
is safe.
Wondering if anyone would miss that or would it matter if I put paint all over it.
Yeah.
So some of the most interesting marks and textures that you'll get into your work will just come from things around the home. I mean, I mentioned before about using the Catalyst tools for texture, And they are fantastic, but they're not essential because there's so many things you can use, you know, probably within a few meters of wherever you're sitting right now.
Every time you pick up a bot mark making tool, yeah. I'm like, oh, she's going all fancy.
Yeah, I know. I didn't mention the gold leaf. I do like a bit of sparkle from time to time as well. That's another one that I bring out. It's funny, gold leaf for me is like wearing a party dress. I just don't do it very often, but when I do, I enjoy it.
You love it, yeah.
Yeah.
It goes everywhere though.
Yeah, so I'm not in the mood for it all that often, which is the same for me as far as partying. You know, I don't party. Not anymore, anyway.
Not anymore. No. Too busy. Too busy doing these online courses.
That's right. But every now and then you put on a frock and it feels good. And that's the same way that I feel about gold leaf. So I think everyone should bring it out every now and then. Fill up the house with sparkles. So Richie can walk around with a little bit of...
Look under my desk. Look under my desk. Right there.
I know. It gets everywhere. Everywhere. Gold leaf. So I just wanted to mention that because I think it's fun to play with a few things like gold leaf, masking fluid, mediums, you know, granulation medium. If you have watercolor paints that don't have granulating effects, you can buy a medium that brings out that kind of effect in an ordinary smooth watercolor paint.
I have zero training in any kind of art, and I only know art because of you. But I remember seeing a comment on Instagram once where someone saying they just didn't know you could mix watercolor with acrylic paint. They just didn't even think of it.
I didn't realize that other people didn't do that. But when I did it in the course, I mix all my inks and my watercolors together. People were like, wow, is that what you do?
I'm yeah, like, I didn't know yeah? you could do that.
Why not?
Yeah, and I'm just kind of, because I don't know any of the rules. And I'm just looking at it going, I just couldn't believe it was a question.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm a self-taught artist and I don't know the rules that well either. It makes it a lot easier to break the rules when you don't know what they are in the first place.
That's right.
I just had a thought. I just wanted to mention as well, because we talked about Daniel Smith watercolors. Okay, I just wanted to mention that I have been testing out some other brands because I know they're expensive. And I wanted to say that the Royal Talons Van Gogh watercolors, which are student grade, they pack a punch. They're good. And so is the other type of paint that I like using is the, and I need to look at the name because I'm going to say it wrong.
Are these the Japanese ones?
Yeah, the Kuretake Gansai Tambi.
They're very watercolors. They're yeah. very well presented.
Yeah, and they have beautiful sets, and you can yeah. get quite a lot of colors for a reasonable price. They're a bit more opaque than the watercolors that I tend to use. They also don't have the granulation in them, but they are so silky. In fact, they remind me a little bit of inks in a way, and the colors are punchy. So I think you could do a lot with those. And I've heard that they have metallic colors and some interesting things in there.
That was the combination you were talking about when you were saying if you want to save some money on paint.
Yeah, try out that. And I mean, there's all sorts of different student grades out there. I think Winsor Newton student grade is quite good too. And with the acrylic paints, I wanted to mention that acrylic paints come in different formulations. So you have heavier bodied paints and you also have fluid paint. And I love using fluid paint. I probably use more fluid paint than I do heavier bodied paint. And the Matisse comes in a fluid and so does the golden paints. And golden fluids are amazing. They're very expensive here in little old Adelaide, but you do get a lot of bang for your buck because they last a long time. And the Matisse brand actually has a flow paint, which is like it's a heavy bodied paint, but it's not super thick, like it's not like an impasto paint. And then they have another range which is called structure, which is really thick if you want to do, you know, get big peaks in your paint and use impasto techniques and a lot of texture. So I just thought I would put that out there, a little bit more information about the different types of acrylic paint that you can get. Liquitex has a basics range, which is a student grade paint, and I think that's a pretty good good paint to get started with as well if you are looking at a more affordable option. But it is a little bit like the watercolor paper with the paint, particularly with the acrylic paints. You know, you will notice a big difference when you go up to the artist quality, and you'll notice the higher pigment load and just how you can, you know, mix the colors together more easily, the way the colors blend. There is something to be said for the higher quality and the more pigment that's in the paint. I think that wraps it up then, Richie. You made it through another episode about art supplies.
Just.
You're like your legs tapping there. You're like,
is it? I'm trying not to fall asleep.
It has been a very big week for us. Not going to lie. I think it's been our biggest working week of the year so far.
Yeah, since we started.
So anyway, hopefully we'll get to put our feet up later, maybe sometime next month at the rate we're going at.
Get a few artist interviews in.
We'll find a way. And I'm super keen to get back to some artist interviews over the next month or two. We've had the most amazing feedback about our guests this year, and we've been so blessed and lucky to have incredible artists that come and chat to me. I have to pinch myself that I get to have these conversations, and I'm just so delighted that other people are enjoying them and reaching out to those artists, sending messages, that they're feeling the love, because that's all I've ever wanted. So on that note, let's wrap up this week's episode here. Thank you everyone for joining us this week, and I hope that you'll tune in again next time.